You didn't hire me for my black voice. You hired me for my black face, and that ain't gonna get it.
Welcome to the Jackie Ray Show.
Welcome back to the Jackie Ray Show. I'm, of course, your host, Jackie Ray. Remember, off top, black media matters. As a journalist, I am a part of black media. And if you are a journalist, you are a part of black media as well. So make sure you're doing your due diligence and staying strong in the constant fight to make sure that we have representation. Now, I'm not going to usually, I know I usually do a segment where I talk about a very specific topic. There is a topic that I want to talk about, and that is what happened at the Pike in Long Beach. I'm not going to dive in too much detail because I am going to probably come back and have some other people on the show to talk to you about that as far as the lack of leadership, because the first thing that I noticed in that was everyone was black and brown. And I'm not a mom, but as a godmom, if that had been my goddaughter, I'd be mortified if she was out there behaving in such a manner, especially the young lady that instigated the fight. There was another 16-year-old that was shot. That is also very troubling. But I just want to make sure that we understand the narrative. I sent that to a dozen people that I know that have a bunch of kids or know a bunch of kids or work in the Long Beach Unified School System. Hey, let me know. Do you see anybody that you recognize? And that was concerning to me because I've sent videos like that out before and people are like, oh man, I don't want to say anything, but yeah, I recognize a few kids. This time, nobody recognized anybody. And I thought that was odd. And then I saw that the Long Beach Police Department had posted that they knew this was going to happen. And shout out to them for being on the scene. Although a young man did get shot, I think it could have been way worse if they were not immediately prepared to handle that situation. I know that I give them grief when it's warranted, but in this situation, kudos to y'all. Y'all did the right thing. But I wondered, I was like, well, how do they know about this? So as I'm scrolling through their Twitter, I see somebody say it's Pokemon Community Day. So then I Google, when is Pokemon Community Day? It was March 16th. That was the day that all this happened. So then I Googled, okay, where are the best places to find Pokemon on Pokemon Community Day? The Pike, Shoreline Village, First and Pine, like all the areas that are around that area is where this happened. And then the light bulb went off. And I was like, that makes sense because I did find it peculiar. I know kids live on their phone, but everybody had their phones out at the same time. That was odd, but now it's not, because if they were all there playing, you know, or looking for Pokemon, because you know you can catch them all, if they were all doing that, that made sense to me. So I just want to make sure that I don't know how many kids were there from Long Beach, but in my efforts to reach out to people, my first question was, how can we make sure that young people have resources so they don't have to get caught up in these situations, so they have anger management issues, so they can de-escalate situations? And it's interesting because I had two people say, we have great leaders who do that. And then everybody else said, we don't have any leadership in Long Beach. There's too much division. There's too many people that disagree with the way people do things. And so they just alienate or they talk trash and blah, 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 blah. That is going to be something that I'm diving into more as well. So I just want to make sure if you're watching this and you're in Long Beach and you are a leader and you have beef with another leader, hit your girl up, because I want to help us facilitate that, because I have said it before and I'm going to say it again with bass in my voice. We are all we got as black people. This is it. If we can't fix it, we cannot expect anyone else to fix it. And on top of that, we can't expect anyone else to care. We have to kill this division between ourselves and work together. Everybody has strengths. Everybody has weaknesses. Let's exploit the strengths. Let's lift up people and their weaknesses, but let's do better about each other. And if I need to facilitate a sit down so we can all come together, you know, I'm happy to do it, but I love my community. I love my people. And we've just got to make sure that we are there for one another, because we need each other. So that's all I'm going to say about that. So now let's figure out what Mo Kelly knows about this possible TikTok ban. Mo, for me, I don't care about TikTok like that. So aside from everything that's going on politically, your personal views about TikTok, I think it's very toxic. I don't like being on there very much. Are you even on the app? I know you don't really like social media like that.
I am on it. I have a presence there. It's more like a function of, if I need to see something on TikTok, I have an account in which will allow me to get on. But like TikTok, in music today and many movies today, it's not for me. It's not for my generation per se. And I don't begrudge it for that. I just know it's not directed to me. In other words, I'm not the intended mm-hmm. audience.
Right. So, you know, it's been a few, well, I don't want to say a few years, but it feels like at least 2 years that we've been hearing about the potential ban of TikTok. So let me give you guys some background in case you don't know. So TikTok is owned by a Beijing company called ByteDance. And the fear is that they could sell the $170 million data users' information to China, possibly. Is that a realistic fear?
It's a realistic fear, but I think it denies the reality of how it works. And for people who don't know, if you are a major corporation based in China, by definition, you are in league with the Chinese government. ByteDance, Chinese government owns a lot of it. If you know the company Tencent, which owns WeChat, mm-hmm. The Chinese government owns a lot of it. So if there's a major Chinese corporation, by definition, it is working in league with the Chinese government. And here's something else. If we're worried about ByteDance selling our information to the Chinese government, well, you have to know that every major data mining corporation like a Meta or anyone else out there could conceivably sell our data to either a third party, which then sells it on to China or directly to China. I think we're deluding ourselves if we're trying to say that, well, if we make ByteDance divest, that makes our data somehow more safe. It is a lie.
And that's where I think a lot of people, I've been on TikTok a lot more as of late to hear what people are saying about this. And the concern is, this is probably something that we are already subjected to. I know there was a recent scare with Temu right. and people saying Temu got your information. But is it beyond the realm of possibility that even if it's owned by a government entity here in the United States, couldn't that entity as well give our information to our government?
Absolutely. I think it is an illusion when we talk about data security or privacy. It is an illusion. It's something that we like to cover ourselves in a blanket, and maybe it'll make us mm-hmm. sleep better at night. But I have to assume, and I think any reasonable person should assume, that your data is out there. If you're worried about your social security number or your buying habits, it's out there. It's just a matter of who has it specifically and whether they have nefarious intentions to use it. We saw from the 2020 election and 2016 election, our data was being used and sold for political purposes. None of this is new. It's just that we're new in terms of understanding the fullness of it.
How, I guess, insulting is the word I'm looking for, that this is the topic that Democrats and Republicans can unite on. Considering all the problems we have in our country, this is the one. This bill passed. Well, they voted on it and went 352-65. Yeah. Should not that be the topic that we're talking about? We have hunger in our country. We have homelessness in our country. People are not being able to afford the cost of living. And they united on TikTok. Should that not be insulting?
It is insulting, but I think the insult goes even deeper. If you think that, in other words, if you disregard the history, and this has, to your point, gone on for many years, Donald Trump started the conversation about banning TikTok during his administration, and he even banned Tencent when he came into office. And then Joe Biden undid that ban, that executive order, when he came into office in 2021. So we've had a disjointed, uneven approach to these Chinese companies in the first place. That's point number one. And point number two, if for us to unify and rally around just TikTok and not deal with Huawei, they undid the Huawei ban, and not be concerned ourselves with Tencent, which owns WeChat and arguably has as large a data mining footprint as TikTok. We're not being honest here. It is the presidential election season. And so it scores cheap political points to say, hey, we're trying to protect your data. We're trying to protect your privacy. It sounds good, but it's not actually real. And I can even go further and say, this is not an actual ban. This just means that the app TikTok will not be allowed to be offered in the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store. But if you have like an Android phone like I do, I can't speak for Apple, but there's a switch you can use in there, which allows you to download apps from third party providers, which means you can just go to TikTok directly and download it. And you know what the number one most visited site in the world is? Pornhub. Pornhub does not exist on the Apple App Store. It does not exist on Google Play. And it's almost like, think of the TikTok ban as Pornhub. Well, it just means that you won't be able to use it on US-based web host providers, and you can't get it in the App Store, and you can't get it in Google Play, but you can still get it. You can still download it. You can still get updates. So it's not really a ban. And young people, if they know anything, they know how to get stuff that they're not supposed to have. It's misleading. It's disingenuous. It's not a ban, and it doesn't protect our data. Did I cover it all?
You most certainly did. And I think that speaks to one of the things that I was reading. Like, people were like, they can ban it all they want, but in communist China, there's several websites that are banned, and they know how to get around that over there. So why would you even put us in a situation where now we're kind of similar? It's a communist kind of mindset where we're like, okay, we'll just get a new, what is it, VPN number or something like that, and we'll just work around it like that. I saw a Republican, what's his name, Chip Roy, he posted on Twitter X, and he said that everyone kind of doing this influx and reaching out to their congresspeople and saying, no, we don't want this, proves his point. And it says that this app is doing a brainwashing of American citizens. What does that mean?
Look, today is TikTok. It'll be some other app tomorrow, and it may have ties to communist China or not. But here's something else that people are not talking about. If you've ever been in a fight, you know that you can throw the first punch, but you can't control what the return response is going to be, if they're going to punch you or kick you. What I mean is, we can ban TikTok, but it doesn't mean that China won't say, okay, we're not going to accept your American-made movies. We know that you want our Chinese market. Okay, oh, iPhone made in China? Well, we're going to tax that. We're going to put a tariff on that as well. It could be the beginning of an escalation of a trade war. There are all sorts of things that are not being discussed, which could happen in response to this. I mean, Americans can be so heliocentric in the sense that they think everything and everyone revolves around us. We're the sun at the center of the universe. But at the same time, it doesn't work that way. And in this world economy, there are going to be consequences to this. And I think the political short-term gain, because it's a political calculation, we're talking about Democrats and Republicans coming together, holding hands and singing Kumbaya because it's a presidential election year, it's very short-sighted, and there will be repercussions. We're so worried about inflation and the cost of goods and services. Well, here you go. This is going to impact it.
But now with people really going on TikTok and sharing the news, the Washington Post was the first one that I saw that did an amazing job of taking very complex issues that face our nation and reducing them to a minute clip and getting more and more news out there. So one of the things that narratives I've seen a lot of people say is TikTok has kind of led the way in that narrative of making sure that the American people are informed. Is that why TikTok made the radar of our government and not Instagram?
I think TikTok is a convenient foil, what it really comes down to. Not understanding the fullness of the issue. TikTok, let me put it another way. TikTok is not the only Chinese government connected social media provider, app, what have you, data aggregator. It's not the only one, but it's the convenient one because it's one of the most popular ones, and it doesn't get to the heart of the issue. Ultimately, it's going to come down to whether Americans understand how this country and the world is changing. For example, you talk about the Washington Post effectively using TikTok. Well, most people under the age of 40 don't read traditional news sites. They don't watch traditional news. They don't even watch cable news. They get all their news from social media, good, bad, and different. And kudos to the Washington Post realizing that, hey, people get their news from social media. That is not the future. That is the now. And you may say that banning TikTok, you, a person, may say banning TikTok is the solution. It's not. It's not only is it whack-a-mole, in other words, where you try to ban TikTok, another website pops up. It's almost like the war on drugs. Okay, so marijuana is illegal. Wait till ecstasy comes around. Wait till crack comes around. Wait till black tar heroin comes around. You're not actually getting to the heart of the matter.
So what do you think our government should be focusing on when it comes to social media? Or should they just let social media be its own animal and focus on real issues that impact the people in real time?
Well, I hate to go all conservative on folks, but this goes back to Section 230, where you have allowed these social media platforms to escape any type of culpability and responsibility. as far as the content which is put out. Here's that argument in a nutshell. The belief is that social media providers are just providing a platform for you and me, other people, to say, hey, I like to post cat videos or whatever I want. It's not being endorsed by the social media platform. But in the recent years, we know that social media platforms should undertake a larger role and responsibility as far as disinformation, misinformation, election interference. And they've abrogated that responsibility because they said, hey, we're not publishers. And by the way, you can't sue us. So there has to be some sort of middle ground where these platforms accept a greater role and responsibility in what is put on these platforms, or concede that they can be sued and there are consequences for what is put on their platforms. Let's say if it's a mass shooting and they're going to live stream it and there's evidence that is leading up to it and the platform was arguably complicit. I'm just saying hypothetically, there needs to be greater controls in that regard, but you're not limiting, you're not treading into First Amendment territory. So what they should be concentrated on is making sure that social media platforms accept a larger role and responsibility in the consequences, if you will, of what they allow and feature on their platforms. It's not a First Amendment issue, honestly, because these are private platforms. You don't have a constitutional right to post on Facebook, to post on X Twitter, to post on Instagram. So it's a non sequitur, and it's a fake argument. More needs to be done.
Mo, thank you so much. You always have such great insight. TikTok is one of those things that I can absolutely live without. But the second the government says we shouldn't have it, that raises my antenna right. as to say why. And I think that that's the main key about this. People need to ask questions all the time. And please, y'all, don't just get your information from social media. Please do some research on your own. Please. Reading is fundamental. Please read something. Thank you again to Mo Kelly for coming on the show and breaking down this possible TikTok ban. I know there's a lot of questions circulating that topic, so I'm glad that he could break that down for us. You can listen to him every Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. on KFI AM 640. I am on there every Monday doing Beyond the Box Score at 8 p.m., so make sure you check that out. He has been such a mentor to me, such an ear to hear on some of the things that I've gone through in my career, and just such a blessing. It's a blessing to have these types of mentors in your life in this journalistic world. I am wearing this shirt that says support Black media because as a journalist, a Black journalist, I am part of Black media. Before I get into this tea that I know some of you guys want, I want to instill that into every Black journalist out there. You are your own brand, and you need to take steps now to build your own brand so that your brand can possibly sustain you if you need it to. And with that, I know hopefully you guys have seen my Instagram where I have encouraged you to sign our petition. We are trying to unionize at the Long Beach Post, and it's very much needed. I am not going to get into all the tea, some of the really concerning things that have happened, but I'm going to say this. I am extremely proud of my colleagues and the way that we immediately banded together and supported one another and loved on each other and have been using the buddy system. If you feel down, if you need a shoulder to cry on, we are there for each other. I'm going to share my personal experience because I feel comfortable doing so because it happened to me. And I think the biggest part of this story that I want to tell really has nothing to do with the Post. It's just a cautionary tale, I would say. I think sometimes we might shoot the messenger because we don't like the messenger and we might not even listen to the message. And I think that's, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. When I first came into the Post, there was a gentleman who wrote a whole manifesto that I didn't even read. I'm going to be honest with you. He and I did sit down and talk about it. Actually, he and his wife, him and his wife sat down and talked about it and about their concerns about leadership. I still dismissed it though, because he just wasn't a likable person. And I thought he was probably the problem. I think that was my first clue that I probably should have continued to invest in myself. The next clue should have been when my first colleague that I really admired, her diligence within the Latino and Spanish speaking community, and that's Crystal. She went on to win awards in San Diego. She had also raised similar concerns. I was the closest to her as far as friendships that I was immediately building. And I just said, you know what? You know, maybe she's just overreacting. I dismissed it. Once again, part of that is because I was so tired working freelance, y'all. So for me to get into a newsroom that got me completely out of property management, I still do work freelance, but I don't have to work so much freelance that I don't have time for myself. And I'm just always trying to not turn down jobs, because you think if you turn down a job, you're not going to get that next job. It's just a whole mess mentally. And I was just so happy to be out of that, that I was like, y'all can miss me with your drama. I don't care. I am happy. So I think that's my first message, especially when you're going into a new situation. Make sure you listen to those who have been there longer than you. Take everything with a grain of salt. Use your own discernment, but don't be dismissive, which is what I did. So as I'm going on in my career, I'm enjoying my time in Long Beach. Let me tell you, I love being able to go out and be in the Black community. Yes, part of my job is earning the trust of the Black community in Long Beach, because I've only been in Long Beach. My 3-year anniversary with the Long Beach Post will be May 10th. So it's a very short time when you consider in Long Beach. It's very unique in that way. This is a city that has like third generation Long Beachians here. And that's just not something I've lived in. I feel like every city in SoCal, and that's just not something you find. And so it's a beautiful thing to get to know the community. My number is circulating in the community. I just got a text before I started recording this about something that's happening in the community. And it's a great thing. It makes you feel empowered to do your job better, which is all you really want to do. That being said, it's not lost on me that I would not have this job if George Floyd had not been murdered. That is how I got my job. The antennas went off when Black people really started raising hell and saying, nah, y'all gonna listen today. Then the Long Beach Post listened and they hired me. In my opinion, my initial opinion, that was not a good thing. They should have definitely hired Black people. It's Long Beach. But but at the same time, if you were looking for a Black person who cares about the Black community, who's pro-Black, who's going to get in the trenches with the community, you got the right one. So kudos to you for doing your due diligence and finding me. You know, so I felt very proud. I felt very honored that they saw me in that light. Fast forward, I should have picked up on another thing, and that's they just really didn't want me to write, which was weird to me because it was a newspaper, but I should have picked up on that sooner. But I'm going to be honest. Again, I think some of that was just I was so happy to not work freelance, y'all. But now you fast forward, we separate from our former owner, which I think is a great thing. I think all news stations and papers, as much as they can, should be independent, because that allows you to be the news source that the community needs. And that's so vital to any democracy. I say that over and over again. But I think it's a great thing that we took that step. I don't think we took the step properly, because when you form a nonprofit, what's supposed to happen is the board is supposed to select the CEO, and that's not what happened. And in our case, I think that sometimes you have to admit, this is not my wheelhouse. I can't do it. I'm in over my head. And I think when you don't do that, that is when the ship starts to sink, especially if you're going to say, oh, no, I can do that, because it's just going to, you know, perpetuate the problem. My story, the problem that I had immediately was as I'm trying, because, you know, the deeper you get into the community, the more people reach out to you, the more you're like, oh, I want to tell those stories. And I'm a columnist. So as a columnist, I can offer my opinions. I'm like, oh my gosh, this person said this. Let's talk about this. I can start these conversations, which is what a column, a lot of times it's supposed to do. Let's start these conversations. I struggled. I'm gonna leave it at that. I struggled to tell these stories. If you know me, you know that only can happen a few times before I'm like, hold up, will you come let me holler at you. So I was like, this is how I'm feeling. You didn't hire me for my Black voice. You hired me for my Black face, and that ain't gonna get it. I was, you know, we hemmed and hawed. There was a lot of gaslighting. And then finally, an admission. This stung me, but I was glad that the truth finally came out. But I was told that there was no respect for me from leadership for the first 2 years of my career at the Long Beach Post, which again confirmed you hired me for my Black face, not my Black voice. Because in what world do you hire somebody to do a very specific job if you don't respect that they can do it? So that was the moment for me. And I retreated. I'm not even going to lie. I retreated. That day I was like, oh, I know a lot of y'all know what this finger is. Like, oh, nah. For those of you who are listening to the podcast, just imagine. And so I'm like, oh, no, not today, Satan. So in that moment, I came back home and then I had to process all the different ways in which I had failed myself. So in that moment, yes, I was angry, but I also had to be accountable to myself on how I failed myself. Because for 2 years, because if you notice, I just restarted this podcast. This podcast used to be called At the Half because I would talk sports. I would talk politics, and then At the Half, I would talk sports. And then so it was a 3-segment podcast. But I felt like because I'm so focused on Black community issues on that podcast, I felt like I was splitting my time. So I stopped splitting my time. That's how I saw it. Hindsight's 2020. I wasn't splitting my time. I was investing in my brand, which is me and the Black community. That's my whole brand. And so to hear that and to acknowledge that, and I was cool. I was like, all right, cool. I appreciate your honesty. We hugged it out. But then you have to go back to work. You have to go back to work knowing that for 2 years of your life, they didn't respect you. And the reason was because I came from the broadcast world, which every time I hear that, that's the most asinine thing to me. How do y'all think that broadcast news is made? Do you think that they just sit down and there's some magic genie that pops this information in their head? Do you think that they didn't have to do interviews? They didn't have to do research? They didn't have, how y'all think this happens? Because this isn't the first time I've heard it. So if you're one of those people who think that, stop. Don't be an elitist. Be smarter than that. News is news, right? If you want to write it or if you want to speak it, news is news. And to be quite honest, visual media is the preferred media. So anyway, I'm so proud of this newsroom. There's not a better newsroom that I've worked in. And as far as people who give a damn, you know, and I ask you to stand with us. I know I never edit my rants. If this is randomly edited, it's because I was just giving y'all too much tea. And remember, life is short, so make it good. We'll see you next time.